China exerts its power, passing a new security law to crack down on anti-government activity in Hong Kong.
A lot of people in the movement are pretty worried that this law could spell the end of large-scale protests, in particular because of the threat it poses to organizers.
We'll take a look at what this means politically and the economic implications facing this global business center. Plus, more advertisers are taking a break from Facebook, and Lululemon is looking to expand its reach beyond yoga pants. It's Tuesday, June the 30th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. China is deepening its influence over Hong Kong by passing a sweeping new law allowing it to prevent and punish acts by protesters and activists that it sees as threats to national security. Beijing is rejecting criticism that the law would limit people's freedoms in the financial hub. We asked Josh Chin, our China Deputy Bureau Chief, to explain what this all means, both now and for the long term.
So today, China's legislature voted to unilaterally impose a new national security law in Hong Kong that punishes acts of subversion or secession, terrorism, and punishes collusion with foreign forces. And the Chinese government says they're doing this in effect because it's tired of waiting for Hong Kong to pass its own version of a national security law. And Chinese leaders also see the law as necessary to put an end to pro-democracy protests that have flourished in the city over the past year. We'll see how the protest movement responds on Wednesday, which is the anniversary of Hong Kong's handover from the UK back to China. A lot of people in the movement are pretty worried that this law could spell the end of large-scale protests, in particular because of the threat it poses to organizers. Quite a few people in Hong Kong are worried that this law effectively spells the end of one country, two systems, the framework which gave the city a fair amount of autonomy.
Hong Kong's chief executive Carrie Lam said the law will only target a small minority. As international businesses are watching the situation in Hong Kong closely, we'll take a closer look at the economic implications a bit later in the podcast. Meanwhile, in the U.S., lawmakers from both parties are demanding answers from the White House. This after the disclosure of intelligence reports alleging that Russia paid bounties to Afghan insurgents to kill American troops. Democrats and Republicans are pushing for an explanation as to why President Trump apparently wasn't briefed on the threat. The White House said neither the president nor the vice president were told about the classified information because intelligence couldn't agree on the accuracy of the reports. More companies are holding off on advertising on Facebook because of the way free speech has been handled by the social media giant. Ford, Clorox, and Denny's are all pausing advertising on the platform as civil rights groups called for action against what they call Facebook's failure to halt hate speech. A Facebook spokeswoman says it has banned many hate speech users thanks to artificial intelligence and invests billions each year to ensure safety. Coming up, from takeout to fast food, big news surrounding key players in the restaurant industry and their performance during the pandemic. A big potential deal in the competitive food delivery industry. We report that Uber is in talks to buy Postmates for about $2.6 billion. If it happens, the deal could be announced next week, if not sooner. Food delivery companies are moving to consolidate, even with millions of Americans stuck at home and ordering more meals. Most are losing money or barely breaking even. The owner of many Pizza Hut and Wendy's franchises is preparing to file for Chapter 11 protection, according to people familiar with the company's finances, despite brands reporting a bump in sales since the pandemic. NPC International is one of the largest restaurant franchises in the U.S. and was already struggling with debt before coronavirus hit. An NPC spokeswoman wasn't immediately available for comment. Lululemon, the athletic apparel retailer, is buying the at-home fitness company Mirror as part of a $500 million deal. It comes as Americans look for new options to exercise during the pandemic. The startup is known for its $1,500 tech-enabled mirror with a camera and speakers for an at-home workout. After the break, the business impact on China's latest move to control Hong Kong. We'll talk to our markets columnist. Hong Kong is a global banking center and home to several multinational companies. It's seen by the business community as a gateway to China. With so much at stake, we're taking a closer look at the impact of China's new security on the region. Wall Street Journal markets columnist Mike Bird is based in Hong Kong. He joins us now. Mike, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Mike, you are on the ground in Hong Kong. You are very much in touch with the business community. Put this in perspective for us. Just how big of a deal is this?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that we don't have a lot of detail on what is going in this law. We know that it will have rules on secessionist attitudes to subversion of the Chinese state and to some vague implications about coming under foreign influence. But we don't know the strict detail of it. The actual text of the law has yet to be published. So it's difficult for businesses to make a firm idea of what this is going to mean for them. For the moment, there's a lot of confusion. And it's also an extremely sensitive topic because not knowing what's in that bill means that you don't know what it will be illegal to say from tomorrow, what you may encounter legal difficulties from saying. So a lot of international businesses are staying relatively quiet about it. Even now, organizations like the American Chamber of Commerce, relatively quiet. Organizations that have, to be fair, up until now been fairly critical of the idea of the national security law are now being very cautious about what they say.
Mike, as you know, as we've reported, a top executive from banking giant HSBC signed a petition supporting the legislation, saying it supports any law to stabilize social order in Hong Kong and economic prosperity and development. To have that backing from HSBC, how significant is that?
I think what HSBC's situation has turned out to be is a bit of a microcosm for what the problem is for businesses more broadly in Hong Kong, which is that HSBC signed up to the idea of the national security law. They had an executive sign up to it. That was referred to in Chinese media, in state media, as sort of too little too late, that their support was slow, that it wasn't absolute, that it wasn't clear from the beginning. Now, in parts of Hong Kong, HSBC was obviously criticized for completely the opposite, for signing up to the bill at all. It's very difficult to find this sort of middle ground position that businesses like HSBC, especially those with sort of one foot in the West and one foot in China, they've done really well in the past couple of decades in maintaining that dual role. It's now increasingly difficult to do that. HSBC's come under fire from both sides for doing it. It's likely to continue doing so, and that's going to be the case for other large Hong Kong businesses. You've got companies like Jardine Matheson, which are really Western-run but have had a big influence in Asia for a long time. They're going to find it increasingly difficult to straddle both sides.
I want to point out, at the time, HSBC said it supported laws that will enable Hong Kong to rebuild its economy and maintain the principle of one country, two systems. Any indication from any companies, especially those that are based in the West, that they will curb their presence or scale back their presence or future business deals in Hong Kong?
You've seen some smaller organizations do that, a couple of research firms here, but people mostly stray away from saying that for a couple of reasons. One thing is if you have to do business in mainland China, saying that you're leaving Hong Kong because of a law that the government of mainland China wants to pass is a bad look. It's not going to win you any friends in the mainland. The second reason is it's purely cost related. It's expensive to move people, and if it becomes the case that it won't disrupt your business operations, you've moved people, you've probably lost employees in the process, you've probably lost deals in the process for no reason. As a reporter, I saw this covering London during 2016, a lot of businesses talked a lot about leaving because of Brexit. They talked about the risks. Relatively few of them did precisely because it's so expensive to do so. It's so disruptive that if there are any circumstances in which you can stay, you probably will.
And Mike, as a journalist who lives in Hong Kong, who is very familiar with the business community, what are the lingering questions you have? What are the unknowns that need to be answered to get a scope about the significance and impact of this decision?
I think the honest answer is that we won't know enough about the law to know how it will affect businesses until it begins being enforced. You have laws like this in mainland China, and it's the selectiveness of their enforcement that really matters. Whether it's used, as the Hong Kong government is broadly suggesting, the Hong Kong government is very keen to stress that this won't affect most people, that it shouldn't affect international businesses. Many businesses may not, in a cynical way, mind this sort of law if it really just applies to political dissidents. If it's just used to crack down on political dissidents, then that will be the same as many businesses find in mainland China, as many businesses find even in places like Singapore. They can live with that sort of thing. But the strict text of the bill may prove to provide situations for the Hong Kong government to pursue international businesses if they want to. So I think we'll have to see where we are in a few months' time, once the law is in, who's being caught up in it, who's being warned about it legally, who's actually going to court, who's being prosecuted for it. Until that happens, it's going to be really difficult to say the sort of scope of the law until it actually begins to be enforced.
Mike Bird joining us from Hong Kong. Great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks very much.
And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.